name is Ant, and I'm joined this week by Bespin Bulletin himself. This is a bit of a wild one because we recorded the Returnal podcast, which is now going to come out later than this one, which was episode 2. So episode 3 will release before 2 in a really Returnal kind of fashion. So that's fine.
That is fine. It's a mess. Like, what else do people expect?
Mess pixel madness.
Yeah.
Moving pixel messes. Right. So what are we talking about this week, mate?
We're talking about E3, Summer Games Fest, just the general shitstorm that is the summer of gaming.
Last year is a blur, like, for a lot of reasons, but, like, I can't remember anything, like... I like these conferences. I usually go in completely blind and then just watch them and then just get excited about a few things from them and whatnot. Last year was just weird, wasn't it? It was shit. I can't remember being excited at a conference because it was so spread out.
Well, last year was weird because it was the first year without E3. So whereas all these publishers are all trying to like vie for 1 week, everybody just said, let's just go whenever. So it was like a 4-month thing. Like, it started in May, ended in September. Just like we had 2 PlayStation conferences, 2 Xbox ones or 3. Like, yeah, there was loads.
There's been this question for a while now, like, do we need an E3 and all this stuff? And a lot of people say we don't need it because people can do their own press conference. I think last year proved that we need a unifying voice between all the developers.
We need something. And last year, that's what Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Mess, that's Jeff Grubb, Summer Games Fest was supposed to be.
Jeff Keighley's the true Summer Game Mess.
I don't know. Have you seen Jeff Grubb? He's a bit of a mess. Sorry, Jeff, you know I love you. But yeah.
Jeff Keighley's like, he's always... Do you know what does me about Jeff Keighley? He's always dressed like really well from head to ankle. And then he's always got a pair of wild, like just wild shoes to go with a suit.
Yeah.
Who dresses that guy?
I like to imagine that's how he plays games. Like, he sits there in a proper suit with some Vans on, you know?
No, what? He wears the bloody like basketball shoes. What are they called? I'm Jordans. A boomer, so you'll have to. Yeah, he wears like Air Jordans with suit.
Like. Yeah, he's a wild.
He's like, half his body is like, I'm professional, and then the rest of it he's like, I wish I was younger.
yeah, he's like a 40-year-old man, to be fair.
Yeah,
last year was weird because we didn't have E3. For years, people have been saying to kind of get rid of E3, there's no point in it anymore. And last year proved all these developers, all these publishers.
Where were you at on that prior? Because I was kind of like, I don't know, maybe if they all had their own conferences, it might be cool. But then last year I was like, nope, we need E3.
Yeah. I think E3 is dumb in the sense of, like, you don't need this one event. I think E3 should become more like Gamescom, where it is more just for, like, us, the general public, to go and play all these demos, these new games, and see these showcases.
That is slowly what they're trying to pivot into as well, aren't they? Yeah. Where it used to just be literal press conferences for business reasons, for just outlets to turn up to, and now they're letting fans in more and more every year. And
because last year showed it that, like, all of these, like, even if it was sporadic and it was so spread out, like, it showed that last year these companies can do it. They can do their own little videos, hour-long things, put them out whenever, like, whenever they wanted to, whenever they felt comfortable as a company. That was the part that was the problem, was they were like, we're not doing it in 1 week, we're doing it over the course of 4 months. Jeff Keighley tried to, contain it all within the Summer Games Fest. And again, he's doing it this year, and like this year runs for a week instead of, or a month or something, instead of what it has been last year.
Yeah.
And E3 are doing it, I think, from the 11th to the 14th or 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and E3 hasn't put out their schedule. We know who's attending, we don't know the schedule, so it's kind of a...
The schedule is probably more than likely going to come out between the time that we're recording this and the time that this releases as well. So if that seems weird, that's why.
Yeah, we've been holding off because we've been waiting for the schedule. There's also rumors from credible people that, like, Nintendo are going to go early. They're going to announce something early before E3. So it was kind of like, well, nothing usually happens on a weekend, so let's just do it over the weekend and we'll deal with whatever later.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, E3, like, I'm always excited for it in the terms of it feels like gamers' Christmas.
I think one thing that it does do is there's a lot of people that are only going to tune into E3 for the big stuff and then maybe be surprised by some of the small stuff. So Ubisoft will be fine if they have their own press conference. Xbox will be fine. Everybody else would be fine, but there are smaller studios here that they sort of get lifted like by the rest of the big games, don't they? That I might not tune into like an indie studios thing, but if I see them while they're on at E3, like that's cool. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think the Xbox especially have been doing a good deal of that for the last couple of years, really showcasing indies. Mm. And yeah, I think getting on one of these stages is the key to these indie games, because otherwise they're all going to get lost in the shuffle.
Exactly, yeah.
Is there anything in particular you're excited for? Like, which conference are you most excited for, like, this year?
I am probably... We spoke about the other day about... who my favorite developer is at the minute, and it's probably Capcom. And yeah, it's between them. I'd say Bandai Namco, but that's specifically just for Dark Souls. But the stuff that we're going to get for Dark Souls, well, specifically Elden Ring, is probably going to be Xbox, if anything, isn't it?
It depends what Bandai Namco are doing. They did register the trademark early this year called Bandai Namco Next, which was believed to be an event. So that could be part of this E3 thing. You'd assume so. But yeah, we don't know if Band...
Where do you think Elden Ring's going to show up? If it shows up?
You'd assume Bandai's thing. If they are doing a big big thing. Xbox, like, it seems as if they had the marketing deal when that game was first announced. Like, maybe that is the case, but... I think we know Xbox are going on the 13th. So if Bandai goes before it, like, they could show it at both. But
I think it's Capcom for me. There was a bunch of stuff rumored in that leak, wasn't there? Like, if any of that sort of comes true and we get, what was it? There was a Switch, Resident Evil. There was like, well, we've just had new Monster Hunter stuff, so maybe there's more of that. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from them. But yeah, they make a lot of my most recent favorite games, so stands to reason I'd be most excited for that one.
I do wonder what the Capcom thing is. Like, Capcom is listed in both the Summer Games Fest and at E3. And
yeah, so they're bringing something, aren't they? It's not just...
Yeah, it's a weird one, because Keighley the other day, obviously he put out his like big thing of every publisher, you know, attending the Summer Games Fest. But he's claiming the Xbox event that's at E3 is also part of Summer Games Fest. So it is overlapped. It is like... Just, it doesn't matter. Like, really.
No, it doesn't, no. That's just Jeff Keighley, I think, going like, yep, I've got that one too. Like, I've got Xbox.
Like, here's the big thing for Summer Games Fest. It's the 10th, June 10th, where they're having this 2.5 hour long big kickoff show, and that's where you're going to get a lot of stuff. That's going to be, the big thing they have, and it's just going to be encompassed in the following week, which is E3 anyway. So I consider E3. Yeah. But having Capcom there, they've been doing these...
So how are we going to do this? Are we just jumping around, or do you want to go through each one? Because I know you've got a lot of thoughts and theories and predictions of each developer themselves.
We'll jump around. It doesn't matter. I think it's... Yeah. We'll go through all of them at some point, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go with Capcom.
We'll start with Capcom.
Yeah. Because I think with Capcom, they've been... It's an anniversary of Resident Evil or something this year, right? That's why they've been doing these little videos throughout the year, mostly showcasing RE8. I think they're going to continue it. I think this next thing that's at E3 and at Games Fest is going to be them continuing that.
This is like a huge Resi year. We're getting a rebooted movie. When's the TV show come out?
The TV show comes out in July. So just before.
We've got the animated show as well. Is that the one we're on about?
The animated.
Is that the one
that comes out in Darkness,
July?
Isn't it? Like, I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
the July one, yeah. And then you've got.
Okay.
The
Wesker one.
Yeah. Then you've got the movie in November, and then supposedly next year you've got the live-action series for Netflix.
Yeah, and we just had, obviously, a great game, a great entry in the franchise as well, so yeah, you'd hope that they'd keep the ball rolling, because they've kind of been doing a good job of satisfying every single Resident Evil fan. Like, if you're a fan of the old games, they've been remaking those. If you're a fan of the newer style, the style in RE7, which is quite reminiscent of the original game, then they did that for you. Like, they're really doing a good job. Everybody spoke about it. It's not, obviously, a hot take to say that Capcom are bossing it at the minute, and they weren't for a long time. Regardless of what I sort of thought about those... They had the weird middling years where they were just trying out all kinds of different shit, and a lot of people got really fed up with them in that time. I think they're back now, aren't they, as one of the big boys?
Yeah, I think from RE7 onwards, they're back. Like, it's the John Wick thing of... Everybody keeps saying I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Like, that's one of the
he's
that's what it's been
basically with these as well. Apparently, it was being solely run in Japan up until a certain point, and then they merged something with the American developers as well. Mm. That's why a lot of like RE7 was written by exclusively American writers. And then I think a lot of that's like they're having a lot more influence on each other now, the American and Japanese studio, which I think is good because there's a different way to market stuff in Japan as there is sort of with Europe and America. So it's good that they are doing that. And it does feel like sort of there's more of a cohesive like vision going forward for how they market their games and how they the release strategy as well for like it's never been this well planned where you've been getting like a remake, a new game, remake, new game, and then yeah, they seem like they've really got their stuff sorted out now.
Yeah, and with this Resident Evil, we don't know if it's Resident Evil Showcase, but we assume so. This in June, which means the month after that, the Infinite, is it called Infinite Darkness? This animated thing?
Yes.
Like, that comes out the following month, so that feels like another place to showcase that. I know it's a games thing, but like, is it really, like, if it's going to be at the Games Fest and E3 and it's just the RE Showcase... They could show
and
they
even if it is a games thing, it's a show based on a game, isn't it? Like it's fine to show it. And do you think there's going to be any announcement of? So we got three DLC packs for RE7. Do you think we're going to get announcements of DLC packs for RE8?
Yeah, I'd assume so. I'd assume this is where you'd get that announcement as well. Like it would only be a month after RE8 released. So
you know, you won't get them straight away. You'll just get the announcement of them.
Yeah, they might say, "Hey, like you know, the first DLC pack arrives in August,
or the first one's out,
or something." Yeah. Like, I think because they've continued to emphasize they've got more stuff to show this year from Resident Evil. I think that is this being in June, it's the last stop before the animated thing. So they're going to show you something. Mm-hmm. I think this is where you get the first trailer for the Resident Evil film reboot because at that point. You'd only be five.
Oh, that would if that looks good as well, which I have weird thoughts on like how I just think the I hope the movie's good, but I can't let myself get my hopes up this year with how movies have been for me. But I think the trailer will be good. I just know the trailer's going to be good because as long as they've nailed sort of it's the first set. So every time a Resi trailer's been out in the past, it's just been about Alice and it's been about this and that, and everybody's like, oh, this whatever. This is going to have all the big boys in it, hopefully, if they put them in the trailer. I can't see how they don't, if that's what the story's about.
You'd imagine.
Leon, Claire, everybody's showing up.
Yeah, you imagine that's how it's going to go.
That's going to get a pop for the crowd, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a Sony. It's a Sony-produced film, and Sony typically do start to put out trailers 5 to 6 months before the film comes out. They'll probably have two out in time then, ready for the movie. So this does feel like the perfect time for them to say, here's your first look at the film. Which I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see how it looks and how it. Like, I've always thought, like, you know, the early years of Resident Evil are the most interesting.
Yeah, it's my favorite period in Resident Evil lore, should we say, is the
Raccoon City first stuff, three games. Yeah, like, and so I'm excited to see that. But I do think this is where you get the official announcement of Resident Evil 4 Remake. We've known that's been a thing for a little while. They haven't officially announced it or confirmed it. But yeah, there were those Capcom leaks last year, which...
Talk about a pop for the crowd as well. That's obviously one of the most beloved games of all time.
Yeah.
People will go crazy if that gets a re-release.
Yeah, they have nothing new then to really push. Like, they'll have the DLC for RE8.
What do you think about the Switch game? Do you think there's going to be anything on that or not?
Depends how far in development that is. I don't think it's said in the, at least I didn't see in the documents how far along that is.
Okay.
It would feel weird for that to show up at a Nintendo event, just based on Nintendo is very family friendly in their showcases.
Yeah, I would have said that, but they also like showed Doom at a direct once. I think they are pivoting a little bit with these directs, but yeah, you are right. Like, it would be weird if all of a sudden there's zombies getting their heads blown in the middle of a direct.
You're
like,
going from Mario Golf straight into like some poor woman just getting ripped to shreds by a zombie. Like,
I would absolutely love it if they'd edited it together so like Mario hits the golf ball, pan the camera, and it splats into a zombie's head.
The thing is, what I'm picturing right now is Mario's hitting the golf ball, and the minute he hits the ball, remember that song we had on for like the Resident Evil trailer thing we did for the first episode of MPM? That trailer hits, and then like you just see people getting torn up.
Leon just goes, "Get down!" And then everybody starts blowing everybody's heads off.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be cool.
That's how it should go.
If somebody did that at Nintendo, that would be a wild move. That's like more of that feels like what Sega would have done in the 90s to not be Nintendo. So you are right; it's very not them to do this, but. Who knows?
Yeah, I think if you see it, it's going to be at the Resident Evil showcase. I think the Resident Evil showcase is, obviously, it's the time to push and promote Resident Evil. It's
the only thing I would say is, like, maybe the thing that they might choose to do something at the Nintendo thing is, I kind of feel like if there's a Capcom event and everything that they're showing is, like, released everywhere, but then they all of a sudden put one on there that's like, right, this is exclusive to Switch, you might get, like, people a bit pissed off, maybe. But I know that's not how these things are run. They're not based on what's going to annoy who or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They've been showing the Resident Evil 4 VR stuff, right? And that's not going to every VR platform. That is just like one. And that's been...
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's been at the RE showcases. Because I think Capcom is on there just like... I think there'll be an RE showcase, but I think you're going to have like Monster Hunter stuff just like thrown into like the Nintendo Direct, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Just more DLC for Rise and stuff.
Yes, which there's just been a giant, 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 giant update for Rise today. But so moving on from Resi, do you think there's going to be? I know this is a really like far out there shout. Anything from Devil May Cry at all?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think it's too.
I think
it's too soon for Devil May Cry, just simply because
it's too soon to do something new. And they have stretched out 5 so much; it's unbelievable. They've added like a new campaign where you can play as Virgil the entire game. There's a PS5 version. Like, what else can they do to that game at this point?
Yeah, the PS.
They just need to make a new one. So not now, though. No rush, but. That's the next step, isn't it?
That feels
DMC6.
That feels the next step, and I think like getting the announcement for that next year feels more realistic. Yeah, announce it next year. It doesn't need to be out next year. It could be 2023, 2024. Devil May Cry 5 is still selling really well. It doesn't need especially with the new PS5 version. It's come out. People are looking for excuses to pick up any new game on the PS5. They just want to use...
As soon as that goes on sale, like, I bought the special edition of the other one for, like, 60 quid, so I'm a bit peeved that I've got to pay, like, 35 quid again to get it on PS5. But as soon as it goes down, maybe if it's 25, I'd have bought it already. I will happily replay through that game. And just, like, a word on Capcom with that. Looking at, like, the IPs that... I don't know if there's any developer... Like, these IPs, some of them have been around since like the 80s, and they've nurtured all of them so well into like every single new era of consoles. Like the fact that we're talking about a PS5 and we're still talking about Devil May Cry, Street Fighter, Resident Evil and Monster Hunter, all games that came out like 20 years ago, nearly all of them. Like, it's crazy. Like, even the first Monster Hunter on PS2 and, like, the first Devil May Cry was, and first Resi obviously was like 96. It's amazing that they still... keep bringing these out, and they've still got new life as well, where people are still excited every single year for them. But I think that's Capcom, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, I think that's Capcom. And I was also thinking about RE4 again, just because that's where their releases have been as the last like few years. Like, they've tried to get a game out every single year, pretty much. Next year would fall in line for the time for a remake. It's 2 years since 3. Hopefully, they've been into development for a long time.
It's really interesting what they're going to do with 4, because I've said this to you, and a lot of people have said this as well, but it's on most top 10 games of all time lists. It's like, they really need to not mess with that game, but they also need to justify a remake's existence, so it's an awkward one. I hope they pull it off.
I mean, I have some trust in them, just based off of RE2 remake, just how well that went over. So I do have faith in them.
I have trust in them from RE2. I have less trust from RE3, which is a game I enjoyed, but is like way less of a game than the original was, which is not good 20 years later. But,
I mean, I just want a Code Veronica remake.
Just quickly before we move on as well. No, you don't. anything from Street Fighter? We could get a Street Fighter, like a new Street Fighter at this point. It's been long enough,
It's been long enough. But there's just been...
Street Fighter 6, like they need to...
There's just been
do that at some point.
There's just been no rumblings on it.
No,
like,
there hasn't
been
at all,
nothing.
No. I think it's because 5 came out and like people liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
If people would have loved it, you might have had more rumblings of six. And if people would have hated it, you might have had more rumblings of six. But the fact that five is just kind of there, it's the newest entry. People are still playing it. It still gets, like, it's in every fighting tournament live stream you'll see. But it's, like, not... It's not like MK11 or Tekken 7 or any of these like other ones that are really doing well at the minute to the point where you think, well, they don't need to do anything else yet. Whereas 5 is in this weird spot, so maybe we could get something.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up with Street Fighter 5. I don't know if they still add in DLC to that game, if they're still doing seasons.
I don't think so.
But yeah, that does feel imminent, but I don't think you get it here. Again, I think like... A Capcom announced...
Anytime in the next year, they could do it, yeah. Couldn't they?
I feel like Capcom announcing a new entry into Street Fighter and a new one into Devil May Cry, that's a good show. Whatever you put in that, like next, like Devil May Cry and Street Fighter in recent years have been more like tied to PlayStation. So if PlayStation have an event next year and both of those games show up, that feels like a natural place. Cause...
I think you're right, mate. And I think this year is going to be Resi and Monster Hunter... And then I think they can almost let those franchises just take the back seat for a second and do Street Fighter Devil May Cry next year.
Yeah, that seems fine to me. That seems like...
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, and again, like those games don't need to come out next year. They could still have RE4, and then these could be what follows on from that.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think Capcom are fine for the next few years. They had a bunch of RE stuff in development from the documents I recall. Like, I don't remember even seeing Street Fighter in those documents.
There was so much stuff in those, wasn't there? There was so much stuff, rumoured. The old IPs that they haven't been doing anything with for years that they were bringing back and all sorts.
Yeah, so I definitely think you see this... the Switch thing happen. I think you see that probably at this showcase for Capcom and Resident Evil. I think you get 4. And I think you see something for the film or something for the TV show.
I've just got the list up of the stuff now. So it's Resident Evil Outrage is rumoured for Q4... 21, so maybe that's the Switch one.
That's the Switch one.
Maybe that's the one that gets shown. Dragon's Dogma 2, Street Fighter 6 is for Q3 22.
That could be fiscal year Mega Man though, as well. So we don't know which quarter this is. Could be fiscal one. Or
it
calendar.
Is fiscal year. Right, yeah. Resident Evil 4 remake is Q4 22. Monster Hunter 6, Biohazard Apocalypse. Final Fight remake, Power Stone remake, Ultra Street Fighter 6. So they're already planning the Ultra version of the Street Fighter that's not been announced yet. And Resident Evil Hank, and it says in brackets, likely Hunk. If we get a Hunk game, I will lose my shit. That will be what he's just like, he's sort of just, he shows up in like a lot of the Mercenaries mode, but if he showed up in like a trailer, that would be like one of the internet moments of E3. If there's a Hunk game announced, people would lose their minds. But yeah, those are the rumored ones anyway. Could be some of those get announced.
Yeah, we don't know what impacts COVID had as well to these plans. Like, so hopefully not a substantial amount.
Yeah, they could have all been maybe planned to be announced, or all of them could have been in contention to be announced this year, but maybe a lot of them have been sort of pushed back now, so you might not get an announcement.
Yeah. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go Warner Brothers next.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, they're the thing I'm excited about, I think, the most.
That's why I picked those,
Just because I think the games that have gone in development are the ones I'm definitely gonna buy.
You're so excited for Gollum, aren't you, mate? That's what's happening.
Yeah. He looks like Matt.
I'm his precious that he chases around and just goes wild over.
Yeah, I think that is probably fair. I think Warner Brothers is what I'm excited for, purely for Gotham Knights, Harry Potter, the Suicide Squad, and Lego Star Wars. Warner Brothers games.
I think everybody was unanimously excited for that Harry Potter game based off the trailer. Even people who aren't that arsed about Harry Potter were like, "Oh, this could be cool."
Yeah. With Warner Brothers, thinking of it, like, I think now is the time to show the gameplay for Hogwarts Legacy, because last year we got the gameplay reveal for Gotham Knights, which was supposed to be released in this year, but obviously it's next year now. As is,
and we got that, like, the trailer for Hogwarts as well. It's like one of those where there's bits that you can tell are cutscenes. Mm-hmm. There's bits, but you've got no HUD, so you can't actually see which bits are the gameplay or what the camera angle is or stuff like that. Like, it's really vague as to what's in-engine and what's not.
Yeah, and something I think Warner Brothers will continue to do from last year is, even though Harry Potter showed up on a Sony stage last year, it could show up here somewhere. It doesn't need to be even tied into... We don't even know if Warner Brothers having their own event or if they are just showed up on other people's stages. We don't know how this E3 is working, but people have said it is different.
No.
So yeah, they could show Harry Potter gameplay. That feels like the natural time for that.
With it being a digital event as well, you don't have to worry about like the physical space that people are obviously being shepherded into, so it could be well different, like you said.
Yeah, so I think next for that, that is this time. This is summer, because later in the year we have a DC fandom once again. And I think that's where they showcase the Suicide Squad and Gotham Knights even more. I think you'll see some of that this time around. Even if they don't.
Those feel like games that like will keep getting shown until the day they come out.
Yeah, like Suicide Squad was supposed to be next year. That's probably 23 now. If you know, Hogwarts and Gotham Knights have both been delayed until next year.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad. I think you see Lego Star Wars here, and I think you get a release date for fall 2021.
How many times has that been pushed now?
A lot. I remember when it was first shown in 2019 at the Microsoft stage, I was talking to people who were involved with that game at the time, and they were like, oh yeah, we're aiming for summer next year. And then obviously COVID happened, so they went into fall last year, then it was spring this year. Mm. Most games are getting delayed between 6 months to a year. And if that gets delayed now until this fall, that would have been a year. So that should be the time for it to come out.
It's obviously going to be quite a big one because it is the Lego Star Wars saga, but you'd have thought that there's not too much like that they need to do. They've already got all the framework for Lego games that they've been doing for years.
From what I've been told, it seems like QA is the problem there. QA in general has been a big problem for all these developers and all these studios since this has all happened. So
yeah,
I'd assume with the game, that's the biggest and most ambitious Lego game they've ever made. I assume that that's been a problem, squashing all those bugs and getting it like quality assured. I think you see that. It depends if Warner Bros. Have their own event or not. If they don't, I think you see it at Microsoft. Purely because they have, again, the marketing deal for that game.
And like you said before, we only know that Warner Brothers is there. We don't know in what capacity, or if they're just, like you said, in bed with Xbox or what. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And, they've been very late with announcing the schedule and how things are working at this E3. I think that's there regardless. I thought we were going to get a release date.
Do you think that's anything to do with the fact that like people are just literally only just getting their shit together for what they know is going to be there? Like, they're giving people as much time as they can before they commit to saying who's where and doing what.
Yeah, but also some of these companies, like what this kind of feels like to me is E3 is just the umbrella, and all these and the same thing for Summer Games Fest. Like this Xbox Showcase is supposed to be an E3 thing, but then Keighley's claiming it as a Summer Games Fest thing. So it's really just Xbox is doing a showcase. You could probably watch off of the Xbox official channels and not an E3 channel.
Do you think this could end up being a mess?
Yeah, absolutely. This could easily be a mess.
Yeah.
I think, like, that's what I mean. You do need the umbrella to keep all these things in, but it's just a bit of a mess saying, like, oh, it's at this one and this one and this one. I mean, it's really, hey, look, this is our summer showcase. You guys can just broadcast it through E3 and Summer Games Fest. Like it's just a weird one.
Because there was a lot of confusion about that as well, about how you could watch it. Is it just can you just watch it on YouTube and live streams and stuff? Or
I believe
so. Do you have to sign to something or what?
I believe so, but I think the official like E3 exclusive stuff, you kind of need to go through, I think it's IGN and their official app, the people they partnered with.
Smart move.
I think this is seeing E3 change. I don't think they're going to be the dominant force as what they used to be.
Do you think big boy Jeff with his trainers is going to take over?
No.
No, long story
short.
No,
I just think all these companies will just try and go in a shorter time frame. Like, because everybody's burned out by the end.
Yeah.
And like, you, like, there was events for like stupid things, like last year.
I'd asked you, I was like, oh, tell me which day that this is all happening, and then I'll just book thing off work. Just me just being naive to it. And you were like, oh, it's going to be over like multiple days, possibly weeks. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I'm taking the week off. Like, I take E3 off every year. I'm taking E3 off again this year. Just because I love to be in there basking it, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I want
to. I would like to, but yeah. Obviously.
You just started a new job.
I just started my job. Like, yeah, I don't want to tell them, like, oh, can I just have an entire
week? Like, let me,
really
like, let me dip.
I've got to watch E3.
Let me dip for a week just to watch Jeff show off in his, like, fucking Air Jordans. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't think they'd be too understanding of that.
No, exactly. Like, it's fine. Like, I think the big one there. Is
you're my boots on the ground for it. You're just going to update me every day.
I'm your Air Force Ones on the ground.
Oh God! As long as you're wearing a tux.
I'll wear a tux.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'll just do the Zoom thing where, like, I look like I'm wearing a tux, and then when I stand up, you see my peen. You know?
Oh God! I thought you were going to say shoes, but you've gone with that.
Yeah.
That's a different move to old Jeff Keighley.
Oh yeah, Jeff wouldn't like to see that at its conference. You know. Second.
Hey, if he thought people were going to watch, he would allow you to show anything at that conference. That guy, he just loves it, doesn't he? I don't know a guy who just like has that energy that dude has.
Yeah, I'll stand up.
He looks like the happiest man of the time every single day.
I'll stand up and he says, "Here's a new entry in the Worms franchise."
It's a small indie game.
Small indie game.
Not much development.
It's still going through the development process.
Oh my God, let's stop this joke right now. Is there anything else from Warner Brothers you need to talk about?
Well, you haven't spoken much about Warner Brothers yourself. Like, what are you most interested and excited for from Warner Brothers?
I asked you prior, are we going to see Gollum gameplay? That's the game I really like Lord of the Rings. I don't really understand what the Gollum game's going to be, and apparently it's going to do some stuff with the lore, and a lot of people got pissed off about that. So
that one's the most further along. That one's been like,
yeah,
that was announced a while ago.
Yeah, they said it's going to be like a stealth sort of thingy game where you're going to go through and you're going to meet legacy characters from the movies and stuff. I don't know. Don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I haven't really been following the Gollum game. I'm not a big fan of the Lord of the Rings games in general. Like, I didn't really care about the Shadow games. So yeah, I've been clocked out for that, especially Gollum.
Yeah.
It is a wonder if you do see a Shadow 3, Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor, something, Shadow of something, you know?
Yeah, you'd imagine so, with all the, like, just hubbub about the Nemesis system and the pattern that they put down for that and stuff. You'd surely think that they're going to capitalize on it with something big, with whatever the Of War or Shadow of 3 is.
Yeah, because I know 2 wasn't as well-selling or as acclaimed as the first one. So I don't know if that's changed their mind, if they're doing something else, but...
I like the second one a lot more. I think the problem with the second one was at the start they had all that bullshit with the microtransactions, and that soured a lot of people early on.
Yeah.
It's got a lot more in it, the second one, than the first. It's got a lot more with the Nemesis system. The problem is with the second one is that it takes too long to get to all the new additions. It just feels like Shadow of Mordor for the first like 10 hours until you start getting to like the big set pieces and stuff like that. But yeah, be excited to see what they do on next gen with it.
Yeah. So what do you think? So is that one you're excited for, or is that a lower down?
Gollum.
Just Warner Brothers in general.
Lego Star Wars is the big one from there, but it's like, I don't need to see anything from Lego Star Wars to be excited for it. I know exactly how a Lego game's going to work, and there's not a new story there. It's just the story of the 9 films.
Yeah.
So, like, it's kind of just like a given that I'm excited for that. I'm buying it day one. I'm playing through it, getting all the stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like an anticipation that's the same for, like, if we see more about Elden Ring, for example, which is a good segue. Should we do Bandai Namco next?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do Namco.
Let's go. So, what do you think is going to show up there?
A Dragon Ball Z game, probably.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Like, maybe more than one. A mobile card one or some shit, and then, like, one for Switch. And, like, they go mental with the Dragon Ball games, don't they?
Yeah, like, Namco, I don't know. I'm not really bothered about this one. Like, I've said for a long time, right. Like, the only thing I want from them is now to do...
You're not an anime games guy, are you? You're not a Borderlands guy. Neither am I.
Borderlands is Gearbox, right? That's not Namco?
Oh, shit, yeah. It's just written here. I thought it was in the... Yeah. That's my bad.
Yeah, so I think yeah, they're going to just do a bunch of anime games. You're probably going to see a One Piece game, a Dragon Ball game. Obviously, if Elden Ring is anyway, it'll be here.
Why every single anime do they just do a fighting game for it? Like an arena 3D fighter? They do it for every single game.
I think it's just because,
like,
it's easy.
You just got kill one as well. Yeah. Then they did like the what was it called? The Shonen Jump one. I can't remember what it was called.
It was literally called Shonen Jump.
Jump Force. Yeah, and then every single one just seems to, like, Berserk and JoJo and everything, they just get these fighting games.
Yeah.
Just like arena. It's like they just... Do you think they just lift the sort of visual assets and slap a different anime on it?
I think it's just easy for them to make. It's quicker to turn those games out.
Because even Attack on Titan's like a similar thing. It's like they're always in the same art style, which is, right, this is an anime, so we need it to, like, be cel-shaded. Yeah. That's always a given.
I don't know who's making the Demon Slayer game. I haven't really looked into it, but there is a Demon Slayer game coming out, so I won't be surprised if that's a Bandai Namco's thing. And Demon Slayer is the biggest anime in the world. The film is doing incredibly well at the moment. So that'd be a big...
I was just obviously telling you over the weekend, like, through the week, sorry, we were dead at work. I work at the cinema, and we were absolutely dead, and then there was a Demon Slayer showing on, and it was packed.
Yeah, like...
It was packed, like, more than anything else was, just for one single showing, at least.
Yeah, that's the thing. Demon Slayer is massive at the moment, so that's an easy win from right there. I think that is, like, sort of like a fighting game again.
It's absolutely going to be a fighting game, yeah.
But what I want from them, like, I'm a big Dragon Ball fan. I have been all my life, and I've played most of the games. Like, I kind of fell off the last few years because, even though...
You want a super game, don't you?
Yeah, I'm done now with replaying the Z storyline.
The same, like, story, yeah.
The same thing, just in a different game. Like, even Xenoverse, which is, like, you're just messing up the timeline, you're going back to all these events and changes and some things. Like, I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels time for a Xenoverse 3, but I don't want it. I kind of just want... Look, even if they just go back to normal Dragon Ball, I would be fine with it, just because it's something different. Like, ideally, Super. Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed Super. Some really interesting
arcs. You just want them to do something else other than Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, and it feels like they're going to do... You'd imagine they do a follow-up to Fighters, since that was so successful. Kakarot went over well.
If anybody wants to buy that, by the way, the ultimate whatever, blah, 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 every bit of DLC and every Fighter edition, which is supposed to be like 80 quid, is a tenner on Switch at the minute. So go buy that.
Yeah, like, Fighters was massive. Kakarot went over really well. People really enjoyed that. I feel like you'll get a sequel to that one day. I'm ready to move on from Z and go into Super. But most people who are talking about Bandai Namco aren't talking about Dragon Ball Z. They are talking about Elden Ring.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of those leaked video things. Did you watch those?
I did.
Maybe you can provide some more context here then, but all we know kind of about this game so far is it's the love child of Miyazaki and George R.R. Martin is going to be doing... What we found out, didn't we? I read some where from an IGN interview.
He's doing the world stuff, isn't he? He's not doing the...
George R.R. Martin's doing the world.
I think so. He's not doing the mainline story.
He's doing the story in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all these, like, in the Souls games, obviously, every single weapon item, everything that you pick up has a little sort of, or sometimes big paragraph to explain its place in the world, the lore, everything like that. Those are basically going to be written by George R.R. Martin, which could be a stroke of genius, because obviously one of his best traits is world building. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works. What else do we know? We know that it's going to be a lot more open world than the others. The others do have an open world, kind of work like a Metroidvania-ish kind of thing. There's locked doors right at the start, which lead to the end of the game, but you're not going to get the keys, blah, blah, blah. This is apparently, you're going to have a horse, and there's going to be a lot more distance to travel between areas.
Yeah, like, that was what the leak stuff was. It's just basically showing the horse. Like, you see, they saw the person on the horse.
So that's confirmed then that we do get a horse.
Yeah, you get the horse. It wasn't much in the leak stuff. Like, there was hardly anything. Like,
It'll be interesting to see how this works, because, like, the way the Dark Souls maps and Sekiro and Bloodborne have always worked is you're not actually covering that much ground distance, like, horizontally. It's more vertically. You either go up to the top of a tower or you're descending down into the depths of somewhere. And then you more or less just come out at a different point, which is not that far from where you were at the start. So it's interesting to see it. There can't be that much verticality in it if there's going to be this much, like, bigger map, if you know what I mean. So something like, say, Skyrim, that's got a huge map, but there's not that much verticality. It's just open land, isn't it, for the most part? Like, I wonder if that's what they're going to go for with this.
Yeah, I don't know much about Elden Ring. That is, like, everybody's clamoring for any slither of information on that game, and there's just nothing out there. Like, that's why...
Yeah. If someone would know it, it would be you as well.
If there was, like, something happening... Anything. If it was just a bit more transparency between the development of the game and obviously the fans, like, I think people wouldn't be as hungry for it. They wouldn't be as, like, mental for it. Because this is the thing, like, we've seen it online, like, Jeff Grubb thought something was going to be shown when that leak thing happened, and then, like, he had death threats for it and everything. Like, people are going mental for this game.
I don't know why people get like this with, like, Miyazaki stuff as well, because he's been very firm on this stance from the start. And to be fair to everybody who's ever published a Souls-like or whatever game, from Demon's Souls right up until Sekiro, he takes his time, and he's allowed to take his time. And I think everybody should just chill out when you consider the end product that you've got every time he's developed one of these. They're always masterpieces. Like, the only one he didn't do is 2, and it's the only one that people don't consider, like, a masterpiece out of all these games. So just give it time, man. If it's still cooking, let it cook. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. What do you want from Elden Ring? Since you went through all the Souls stuff, like, in like, a couple of months, and just really bossed it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking for Elden Ring? What do you want from it?
I hope, with all this stuff that they're saying about, like, the open worlds, I hope it doesn't lose that great level design and world design that you got in the other games. Like, that's one of the things to marvel at the most in Dark Souls is, like I said, there'll be a lift on, like, your left at the start of the game when you first walk through the first area. You don't think anything of it. There's no lift there. You go to pull a lever and it says this lift cannot be used right now. That's where the final boss is. You just don't know it when you start the game. And, like, hopefully you've still got those secrets and those, like, reveals that... Because the reason I'm picking out that specifically is because I have absolutely no doubt that the world building is going to be incredible. The boss designs and stuff, the character. I'm still kind of thinking, do you think there's going to be a character creator, or is it going to go the Sekiro route where you play as a specific character? I don't know.
I think
Sekiro wasn't really even an RPG or didn't have any of those elements. You weren't picking your weapon. You weren't boosting stats in the way you wanted to. It was you were playing as the character in the game with the weapon it was chosen for you, and it was all about your skill. So I wonder which direction they'll go from that, because people were a bit split.
Yeah, I think they'll make... You'll have a character creator. Like, if I was guessing, I think that's the way to go. Because you...
If you're going to be going out into the world and stuff like that, you'd imagine, like, you could mess about with, like, the stuff, like, you could put different stuff on your horse maybe as well, and, like, I don't know. It's how far they lean into sort of an RPG side of it. But it's interesting to see, like we said, Miyazaki dealing with a bigger world. But
Is Namco one of the showcases you're most excited for, or is it lower down?
It's like, not Namco, but just specifically Dark Souls / Elden Ring, whatever they're going to show is the rest of it, not really, but...
Yeah.
If they've got Elden Ring, but, like, if Elden Ring's at Xbox, for example, then I wouldn't really be arsed with Namco.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably place it so that Namco's first as well, just in case people are thinking like us. Because if Xbox go first and Elden Ring's there, people probably would be less likely to watch.
I remember
the Bandai Namco stream.
I remember this weird. I think I can't remember which E3 it was, but Square Enix had a conference there, and they showed something on the PlayStation stage, and then when it came to their showcase, like, they showed the same stuff, so nobody cared. So,
right, yeah. So they might just do that.
So
then.
Yeah, they need. I think
if it's a little reveal trailer, absolutely. Like, there's no reason to not show. If it's a big 20-minute thing where they talk, like the Horizon thing that we saw, then maybe they won't.
That's the thing. Like, what they could do is say, though, if they are after Xbox, for example, Xbox could show that a new trailer, and then Namco could follow that up with gameplay. At their own
give it some context. And maybe have something from Miyazaki or George R. R. Martin. If you just got a little quote from them or a tiny little snippet of a video, people would lose it. Imagine a George R. R. Martin video where he confirms that he's finished something. Like, people would just lose it.
Maybe that's why this game isn't being talked about, because maybe he's just, like, not answering phone calls anymore.
Imagine, like, Miyazaki's like, all right, mate, I've sorted out the horse and all the open world and all this. Have you done all those notes for all those items? And he's just like, no, man. Just been trying to finish that book that everyone's moaning at me about. Yeah.
I would hate for that to happen to this game. Like, I'm not a Souls guy, but I would hate for that to happen just for fans. You know?
Just for George to be pissing about. I don't think he will be. I don't think he's got that. I think... And a lot of the stuff is going to be collaborative anyway. I think he's probably done with what he's doing, if I was to guess.
I just wonder how...
When are we saying it's coming out, this game?
Probably next year, right?
Yeah, I think he's probably... That bit's probably maybe done.
Mm.
The writing up all the stuff and all that should be done pretty soon, shouldn't it? They know all the items in the game. They just need descriptions for them. It's not like late stuff in development that you start doing that. Mm. That's usually done, isn't it?
Right, do you want to move on to...
What do you want to do next?
It's up to you, mate. Which one takes your fancy? Which one is piquing interest out of the list?
Let's do Square Enix. Because the rest of them, outside of the big boys that we haven't done yet, the big two, we could quickly just get rid of Gearbox. What are they going to do?
Borderlands.
I don't give a shit about Borderlands, and neither do you.
No, I think there'll be a Borderlands thing. Might be a spin-off or something, but they'll do something.
A spin-off, a big DLC thing, whatever. Something like that.
Yeah, don't give a shit.
Who cares? Sega.
No idea. They just did their Sonic Central event the other day, and
that's the thing. If they've just done that there, they must have something.
Well,
they must have something cooking.
At the Sonic event the other day, they said at Summer Games Fest there's going to be a Sonic musical performance.
Oh shit! So, that's the day I need to book off work.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But yeah, they announced...
Imagine if that's all they bring.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be ridiculous.
Dude in a Sonic suit while the orchestra plays behind.
Because they had the Sonic Central event, and they announced Sonic Colors, the remastered version. They're releasing Sonic Origins, which is 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles, I think, at some point.
So, 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles are being, remastered fully, then, is this... Because... There was the guy who did Mania, and then they just hired him, didn't they?
I don't think...
Because he was, so good.
I don't think it's a remaster for the Origin stuff. I think it's just the collection is being put onto, newer consoles. You can either have a widescreen or in this original ratio.
It's weird that they're doing that, though, because it's already on the new consoles.
No idea. That's something they're doing, and they're doing the Sonic Colors thing. And
maybe it's the widescreen thing that's the addition then. Because like I said, you can go on a store and just buy Sonic 1, 2, 3, all of them.
Yeah, it could be that. They announced Sonic, a brand new Sonic game they didn't even give a title for, which is for next year. That could show up somewhere, but it feels weird why they would do that at E3 and not do it right now at this Sonic event. Because it's literally just 2 weeks between it, so it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to do more of this.
Any Yakuza stuff?
Yeah, you could probably see Lost Judgment. That's coming out in September, so
yeah,
it feels...
There's Sonic characters going into Judgment as well, isn't there?
There's Sonic, yeah, in Sonic...
Oh no, it's the games, isn't it? Another place to play those first three
games. You can go into the arcades in Lost Judgment and play Sonic games. Like, they were showing this fighting game, Sonic, where you fight a Mecha Sonic.
It's really interesting because the biggest... arcades in Japan itself are Sega arcades. They're just literally Sega arcades. It just says Sega on the side. So it'd be weird for them not to capitalize on the fact that they're putting Sega arcades inside of their video games without putting their video games in those arcades. Yeah. So makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think we get much from Sega at these events. Again, I think if you do see Sega, I think it might be on the Xbox stage since they've been leaning towards them a lot more recently, especially with Yakuza, which was in November, Yakuza Like a Dragon.
They're all on Game Pass now.
Yeah, and Yakuza Like a Dragon, they went... That was only available for next-gen consoles, it was only available on the Series X in November. You had to wait 4 months for it to come to PlayStation 5. So they definitely have a partnership.
We just got the new Virtua Fighter as well, which... I don't know if the new one... I think it is done by Sega. The old ones were, at least, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think...
That's a weird one that they've just announced that already, and put it straight on... thing for free.
Yeah, that's next week, a week before before E3. So
yeah. I was just looking through stuff that Sega owned, but I think we've covered it. They're not gonna bring out another Outrun game. That's gone to Disney, so that's not...
Yeah, they've just done Yakuza, so I think Lost Judgment, Sonic, that's kind of where their focus is at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, so we've done Gearbox, we've done Sega. Square Enix, let's go next.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's
this is one you've been, this is your big prediction for this.
Yeah, I was saying this before what happened the other day, where like some people said they heard it might be shown. But yeah, I heard, like, we've all heard for years, right, that there's a rumored Guardians game in development.
You could just, yeah, you're almost like just waiting for it to be announced at this point.
Yeah, right? It's been around for years. Rumored that it's that people who make Deus Ex, that they're doing it. I feel like you're going to get the announcement this year. I don't think it's coming out this year. I think it'll be either next or the year after. But I do think you'll get the announcement this year.
Do you think they're going to try and time it for around when Guardians 3 sort of ramps up or not? No, when's that out? Is that this year?
Guardians 3 is 23.
Oh, yeah, so it's probably going to be around
that. Yeah, that would be the perfect timing for it. Like, Avengers came out without any films around it. Like, again,
Avengers came out just, like, so late. Like, yeah. People were done with the Avengers pretty much, weren't they? Yeah. Then they just released this game.
Ideally, that should have come out closer to the time that Endgame came out. It should have been the year before, but
at least just between Infinity War and Endgame, like you said, yeah.
Like, this Guardians game, I don't know what to expect from it. I don't know if they're going to continue down the live service route, which didn't work out for them with Avengers.
I hope they just don't do that now. Like, because the problem with that is these live service games are all about individuality, and we've said before, like, don't kill us, people, but like the great thing in Fortnite is the individuality of having your own, like, skin that you've acquired and that and wearing that and stuff like that. And when they always try and, like, retroactively ham fist, like, oh well, you can be Iron Man but you can have this different plate on your shoulder, and you could, it doesn't work. Like, for these games to work, you need to have just this blank slate character, like something in Destiny, like something like in all these games where you can just go, right, I need to unlock all my own equipment, all my own stuff. Like, yeah. It doesn't work with existing characters.
I hope they take a leaf more out of the Spider-Man stuff. Like, that works really well.
Exactly.
So I hope that's the way they're going with it. I hope, like,
more story
focused. Yeah, I hope their plan was like, right, Avengers is our big live service game that we're going to support for years. Guardians is this one thing. We'll do DLC for it, and that's it. Like, I hope that is the mentality. I know nothing about it. I don't think anybody does. It's just been rumored for a very long time, for years upon years at this point.
It's weird outside of, like, obviously outside of the movies and stuff. Marvel, take away Spider-Man, have dropped the ball completely with video games, completely since the start of the MCU. Whereas, obviously, DC, the complete opposite way, they dropped the ball with their cinematic universe, but they bossed it with games for years. Mm. The Arkham games, like, the Injustice games, people are now really excited about the Suicide Squad game. And again, that's a movie that came out which was just completely botched, which people didn't like, but people are still excited for the game.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited for it. Like, and that's supposed,
which is another game that's coming out on the back of a James Gunn movie.
And it's all, Suicide Squad is also supposedly a live service game.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully they do it well.
Maybe they can make it work. The thing is with those characters, though, I don't know about you, but I feel like the Suicide Squad characters are a lot less visually defined in one look. Like, they've had a bunch of different characters in the Suicide. I know the Avengers have too, but, like, when the Hulk comes in, he's still a green guy in a pair of shorts. What else can you do with that? Yeah. Like, whereas I think Boomerang, you could have a billion different variants of what he wears and the weapons he uses, like, different Boomerangs, I know, but you know what I mean? Like, Harley Quinn has had so many outfits, like, you could change individual bits of and it wouldn't look out of place. You'd still know it was her. Yeah. I think they've got a lot more sort of license to just change all the characters' outfits and not make it look out of place. Because that was another problem people had, is, oh, these don't look like the Avengers. Then once you start changing the clothes and the items and stuff, they even more don't look like the Avengers. So, God knows. I've got more confidence in Suicide Squad without seeing anything than I did with Avengers before I saw anything there. Because, obviously, I spoke to you and I said I have no excitement for that game. Mm. Ended up really liking the beta, then the game didn't turn out like too great, so yeah. Hopefully Suicide Squad turns out great.
Yeah, I think with Square Enix as well, they're really going to ham home Final Fantasy. Like, you're going to probably see more stuff from Final Fantasy 16.
I hope so. I said to you earlier, didn't I, like, I'm not the biggest Final Fantasy guy, but I've got to an age now where there's, like, franchises that I haven't got into yet, and I just go, yep, I'm fine never being into those. Final Fantasy's not one of those. I haven't given up on it. Like, it feels like one that I very much could take the deep dive on sometime soon. I do this with series a lot, where I haven't played a series, I go and play every entry and then obviously get into it and stuff. But Final Fantasy appeals to me, like, from the start. I could easily go back and play, like, the SNES ones as well. I love that art style. The ones on PS1, 2, right up to this, the Final Fantasy 16 trailer. Again, not even being a fan of Final Fantasy itself, I was, like, really into that trailer for 16. I watched it again earlier. And we've also got the rumor of that other game, haven't we? There's a Souls-like Final Fantasy apparently coming out.
Yeah, that's
one of those rumors that's just gone everywhere, so you know it's somebody knows something. Too many people.
Yeah, there was
the
leak, kind of like a leak from the Square Enix side for the E3 presentation. That was the thing that came out from it, was that there's a game called...
Oh, so it is actually a leak that it's being shown. It's not just a leak that it's being made.
Yes, it's called Final Fantasy Origin. People compared it to Souls. They said it's a Souls-like game, but it's probably more comparable to Jedi Fallen Order.
I was literally going to say the exact same thing. I think there will be difficulty settings in it. There will be a lot more sort of... it will be a lot less oppressive world than the Dark Souls games are. It won't beat back like against you as hard, but like I think the inspiration is obviously going to be that interconnected world with all these different bosses and stuff like that. It's a good idea for Final Fantasy. It's a good fit for that world.
Yeah, and one of the things...
It kind of depends what they choose as well, because like Final Fantasy is not a defined thing, so is it like... Is it going to take inspiration from something like 16 is a fantasy game. Final Fantasy VII Remake is like a cyberpunk game. It's like completely different things.
Apparently it's taking inspiration from the earlier games. And again, I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. I've played...
The earlier games were more based in fantasy. The NES Final Fantasy, I think it was the first three were on NES, and then... Can't remember. It might be 4 was the first SNES one, they were fantasy games through and through.
But I think that's going to be their big thing, because I think that might be coming even before 16. I think this is further along than people think. It's come from the team, guys who did Neo. So yeah, I think this is further along than people thought. Hopefully, it's apparently it's a PlayStation 5 exclusive. So we could be getting that like end of the year, next year, because
the fact that Ninja Theory have made Neo makes me a lot more confident in this, because I said to you that the couple of times that they dealt with like IP, they kind of dropped the ball a little bit, like somebody else's, not one that they've made their own. But the fact that they've made Neo now, you obviously get the feeling they've got the guys there who know how to build one of these games really well, because Neo was like really, really critically acclaimed. So if they can just kind of put that obviously into Final Fantasy, then that'll be cool. Is this something you'd be interested in playing?
Yeah, this is one I'm more interested in. This, like...
Because, like, this is... For you, obviously, trying to get into Dark Souls, I know you've said you wanted to in the past. It is daunting. There's, like, 8 games at this point, and different ones you've got to play at different times. Well, this will be sort of a fresh start for both the Souls genre and Final Fantasy for you, if you wanted to get into it.
Yeah, this is what I'm considering.
Yeah.
So this has got my interest. I'm excited to see gameplay of it, see what this game is. I think this is one I'm going to give a shot. Like I said, I've got to be in the mood for it. I bought Demon's Souls. I'm ready to like play it, but it's got to be the right time. Maybe this will be the jump start for me. I don't expect too much else from Square Enix. I think they'll show Avengers. I think they're going to show you Black Panther content and maybe tease you with Spider-Man. But I don't think you're going to get much else. I don't think you need it. I think an announcement of Final Fantasy Origin, more of 16, and then an announcement of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Do you think they should kind of give up with Avengers now, then?
Do
you think it's coming to an end, their commitment to it? Because people aren't playing it, are they? The player base went below, like, what was it? It was some embarrassing, wasn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, after the first...
It was like 100 people playing on Steam or something, I think somebody said.
It was something bad. I don't know what it is.
You can't have that low player base and expect people to be buying DLC and shit. You just can't.
The DLC is free. The only thing is you got to pay for is microtransactions of, like,
so you got to pay to use the characters, haven't you, or something?
You got to pay for their battle passes. They all have individual battle passes, yeah.
What a weird move.
Yeah, well, I just think Black Panther... See what happens with Black Panther and then following up with Spider-Man and stuff. I think if anything's going to rejuvenate it, it's going to be that, because that'll be the first edition of Wakanda as well. So
the problem that they've got is that, like, no matter how good the Black Panther section is and how good Black Panther and Spider-Man play, they're still stuck in the framework of a dead and broken game.
Yeah. Like, I hope it has a comeback, and, like, I want to be more excited for this game than I am. Like, I've played the
Well, we spoke prior about it, and this was going to be like something me and you played all the time, and we were picturing it like you were going and fighting Venom, and then you could unlock his character and his skins and like a different sort of villain or thingy every other month. And it's been like they've released like one thing, haven't they? The Hawkeye thing.
Yeah, there's been two releases: Kate Bishop and Hawkeye. So two Hawkeyes. And yeah, this is,
they made a bow mechanic and just rinsed everything they could.
Yeah,
out of
and
it.
It's been how long is that now? 9 months. Since that game came out, yeah. And we've had two DLC things. And they weren't massive, they weren't substantial. Like, Black Panther is the first thing of that. So hopefully that is a continued trend for them, that it is something that gets people excited. Like, I'll go back for Black Panther because I like the character, and I like the world, like, I want to see that. And Spider-Man too, just because, like, I love Spider-Man, so I'll play anything with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think Square doing Guardians, Final Fantasy Origins, and showing more of FF16... That's a good conference for Square. Like, that feels good.
Anything else from Nier, do you think? They've obviously just had Nier Replicant, and now they've got the mobile game releasing soon. I don't know much about that. I think they'll show more mobile stuff, but
I think they want to see how Replicant does before doing anything else. Just yet.
Because that's obviously like a remake of one of the old ones. I think we might get a new one at some point.
I think you'll get a new one at some point, yeah.
The whole story with Nier is obviously, you've got like the first games are like fantasy games, and then it goes more into like the stuff with robots and stuff, but it's all the same Earth, and it's, they've gone back in time, and then this has not gone back in time. It's the future. It's all madness. I think the next Nier game might be a new looking game. I think they might go with a completely new art style. Like world for you to be in. It won't just look like a sequel to Nier Automata, for example.
Yeah. What's next on the agenda?
We've done everything at this point except Nintendo and Xbox. So
we also skipped Ubisoft, but pretty much we know what to expect from Ubisoft, right?
Yeah, I said to you prior to recording, I'm kind of bored with Ubisoft now. They're going to show Far Cry 6. There's going to be a bunch of shit with I hope that game's good. I didn't like Primal or 5. I didn't even play 4. And I heard 4's good. It's just, it was like, it looked too much like 3, where I was like, whatever. Hopefully 6 ends up being cool. I would love to play a new Far Cry game that hooks me in the way that Far Cry 3 did, and Blood Dragon subsequently from that, because that's their big thing, isn't it? They release a game, and then more or less in the engine of the game that they've got, they add on a new thing, whether it was New Dawn for 5, wasn't it? Where, so at the end of that game, doesn't everything explode?
Yeah, New Dawn was the multiplayer game thing they did afterwards.
Right.
But Ubisoft did make the announcement the other day, didn't they, of are doing more free games. So I think you're going to see some of that.
Well, wasn't it like the specific one, like they're going to solely focus on free games, free-to-play?
Free-to-play games. It's not going to be their only focus. They're still going to put out these big releases like Far Cry 6 and stuff. But they are going to do a lot more free games. The first one being The Division Heartland. So I think you see a lot of that. Yeah, I think Far Cry 6 will be the big push, because I think that's the closest one. The same thing with Rainbow Six Quarantine, which is now called something else. They haven't announced it.
Obviously.
Those two are the closest things. I won't be surprised if Rainbow Six Siege just turns into a free game at this point.
It was for a minute, wasn't it? For a bit back, it went free on something. It might have been PS Plus on the PS4 or something like that. There's now a PS5 version of it, but Rainbow Six Siege just is massive. Like, people just keep playing that game. There's new updates for it all the time. Yeah. So I think they're going to treat this kind of way. You get, Call of Duty has Warzone, and then you get more Call of Duties. I think Rainbow Six Siege will continue as it is, and then maybe you get sort of different versions of what that is. But
yeah,
that's definitely a formula they need to keep. It's Counter-Strike, just again, basically, is what they've got on their hands.
Like,
there.
Rainbow Six Quarantine is just a spin-off of Siege, so this is the one everybody goes to every year for E3 and Ubisoft. Splinter Cell. Do you think that's anything?
No, like, they've already established that, like, they've got these three pillars sort of thing, haven't they, with like Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, and Far Cry, and then their other stuff that they do is multiplayer stuff with like Division and Rainbow Six. And I don't know where Splinter Cell fits into all this, because it can neither be a multiplayer experience or a massive like RPG with loads of DLC and microtransactions and all that. So unless I think it's a lose-lose. If they announce one, it's got to be that big because Ubisoft don't do anything less than that. Or maybe they just do this one thing just to like appease people. But it's not really what Ubisoft are anymore. So I don't think.
And what about Beyond Good and Evil 2? They haven't shown that in a few years, and they kept showing it.
I just totally forgot that game existed. Honestly,
yeah.
That's another one actually where that doesn't really fit into what Ubisoft are. So maybe they do a Splinter Cell then actually. The fact that we're getting a Beyond Good and Evil 2 means anything's on the line.
Yeah, but we haven't had.
I was so excited for that off the back of that trailer.
We haven't had an update on that game in about 2 or 3 years at this point, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
No. Is it like in some sort of development shit, or is it?
I don't know. It was for a long time. Then they restarted, didn't they? That's when they kept showing at E3s. Then, like, it's like two E3s in a row they were showing it, and we haven't heard anything now for a couple of years. So maybe
I hope we do see something from it. That's a like day one purchase for me. Is Evil Within, not Evil Within 2, Beyond Good and Evil 2. It looks a really good game from the trailer they showed.
Do you want to go into Nintendo next then?
Yes, we can do. What are your predictions for this?
I haven't got a lot for this. Initially, I was saying that...
Definitely getting Mario Golf, aren't we?
Yeah, that's going to be shown there. I think they're going to really focus on the Pokemon stuff. Because Pokemon, the remix of Pearl and Diamond are later this year in November.
And then you've got Arceus, whatever it's called. The one that looks really cool starting next year, is it? That
yeah, one? Then you've got Legends Arceus in January.
That's the one.
So... Yeah,
that's the one. Like, I'm in a weird thing with that. I bought the last Pokemon game. I bought the one. So I bought Sword and Shield, and then I bought Let's Go Pikachu, whichever order they came out. But I'm now like, well, I don't want to buy those remakes at the end of this year because I'll just wait for Legends like Arceus at the start of next because that looks like it's going to be the big one. Like,
that's the Breath of the Wild Pokemon thing people always say they want, but it looks like
it's the one everybody's been asking for since the first Pokemon.
Yeah,
like, that's all everybody wants is. I know it's always been on a handheld, but can we please just have a big console version of it? Nintendo have now pivoted into this position where that's now what they've got is both a handheld and a home console, which is perfect. I can't wait for that game. That's going to be my big dive back into Pokemon. I loved Pokemon as a kid, kind of fell off it, didn't keep up with the games and stuff, bought the last two and didn't really get too into them. Hopefully Arceus is a big one for me to get back into. Hopefully you've got a Switch by then as well. Possibly my old Switch if the Pro comes out.
Yeah, the Pro, the new Switch, whatever it's called, like that's the thing we were kind of waiting on because there's been rumors from like the big guys like Bloomberg, Jason Schreier and stuff that was going to be announced pre-E3. Yeah. So...
Which could be any time from now up until E3 in theory, couldn't it? So,
but it felt like this week, so we don't know. But again, that then raises the question of Breath of the Wild 2. It is the Legend of Zelda anniversary this year. We are getting Sky.
We have to see something from that game. We have to.
That was the question I had with it with the Switch. It was like, do they show it with the announcement of the new Switch, or do they wait till E3? I don't know. Mm. Like, if they are doing this like pre-E3 thing, do they do that with Zelda, or do they just wait till E3? Like,
I think it kind of depends on how well they think it's going to go down. So if they're thinking, oh, well, people might not be happy about the fact that they've got to buy this to do... Do you know what I mean? Oh, the price point, maybe. I know the price point is rumored to be the same as the current Switch is full price, but obviously we don't know for sure yet. I think it's maybe... like a 1-2 punch of here's your new Switch, here's Zelda, or if they're focusing more... Nintendo are really, really simplified and streamlined their stuff with this now. They don't go on about all the features and stuff. This is more like, if you remember when the Switch was revealed, the old Karen on the Roof trailer, I think we'll get something like that now, but it will be like somebody... It'll be a different social situation where somebody sat with this really professional-looking bit of kit, and that's who they're going to try and market this to, is like... It won't be casuals on the roof playing like whatever sports game. They're going to try and market this towards, right, it's got this screen and show you maybe, I'm trying to think what, Breath of the Wild 2 would be the perfect game to show you and say, look, this is how good this game looks on this Switch, as opposed to also everybody knowing exactly what Breath of the Wild looks on their original Switch. It's a really good comparison for people to look at straight away. It's like, oh shit, that's how far they've come, is this is the next Breath of the Wild, and it looks like that. Yeah. So I think it'd be a good idea to show it with the Switch, personally, but I don't mind either way. It's really close together, isn't
it? Yeah, and like, yeah, I think they show more of Splatoon 3. That was shown at their last Direct.
I hope Splatoon 3 is more than what Splatoon 2 was, because Splatoon 2 was a repackage of Splatoon 1.
Yeah.
Literally just a repackage of it. Like, and so we got, like, the joke with the Switch at the start was it was just a Wii U machine. Like, you were just getting all the Wii U ports. Mario Kart 8 just got changed to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, but Splatoon literally just got moved over and they just called it a sequel, and it wasn't really. But hopefully Splatoon 3's got a lot of new ideas, because I really, really liked Splatoon.
The one I'm thinking of at the moment is Donkey Kong. I think, like, that's the big franchise that hasn't had, like, almost the reinvention that Zelda and Mario had this time around with Odyssey and Breath of the Wild. I feel like Donkey Kong is next for that. Like, it's been a...
And the interesting thing is, as well, is, like, Tropical Freeze is, everybody who's played this says, and including myself, is one of the best 2D platformers released in the last, like, 20 years. It's an incredible game. They tried to make a 3D-looking Donkey Kong game. Didn't go down so well. So maybe this is the... That's the difference, is, like, when Odyssey came out, it was building off Mario 64. When Breath of the Wild came out, it's building off Ocarina of Time. Donkey Kong needs its first good 3D... big reinvention game, like you said.
I think that's what we're going to get this time. I think that's what's going to be shown at E3, is a new Donkey Kong game. Big reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where else.
Star Fox. We're waiting on Star Fox. There's been nothing about that for years.
You're waiting on Metroid.
Metroid. I'm not expecting anything from Metroid, just because it wasn't that long ago that they just told us that they basically scrapped the entire thing and they're starting again. So maybe something, maybe a little thing. But they already just showed us, like, look how crazy everybody went when they showed the title screen for that game. If they've got any little nugget of anything that they could show us, it would get people excited, but I don't think they will. I think this is my one prediction that I said to you prior, that, like, I do think I got the feeling this is the timing for it, is we'll get another Mario platformer that's not a big 3D one like Odyssey,
right?
Kind of is, like, I don't think, maybe we do, and I hope to God we do, that would be an incredible announcement for me, is if we get a sequel to Odyssey, or at least the follow-up or whatever, slated for either this or, like, next Christmas or something like that. But I feel like we'll get another smaller one in between that. I feel like we'll get, like, sort of just a little experience like 3D World was back then. They've obviously just re-released that now and just added Bowser's Fury, which is, like, it was only 4 hours long on the end of it. I think we'll get a new announcement of some kind of new Mario thing like that. Like, not a party or a golf or a soccer game or anything like that. Like, we'll just get another little Mario platformer that'll just go on the Switch.
Well, they had the Paper King last year, didn't they?
Yes, which is, that's from, obviously, all the old RPG Mario stuff. Yeah, that's the latest entry for that. But, yeah, I think we'll get a little platformer.
So where's your excitement for this Nintendo thing? Because this and Xbox, obviously, the two big lads at this
E3. Nintendo, probably just under Capcom for me. Yeah, I'm excited for the stuff that I'm not thinking about from Nintendo more than anything, and that's what they always do the best, don't they? Like, just completely out of left field. Oh, we've got this on the Switch, or, like, here's this new game that we're bringing out. Like, you can't really... If you were to sit and guess, if anybody was to sit and guess who had, like, a really good knowledge of games, you could probably predict everybody else before you could predict Nintendo. They are just... They don't dance to anybody's tune but their own, so their conferences are usually good. But yeah, Capcom is a more, like, solid one in my head, where I'm like, yeah, they've got a lot that I already know is coming out. So that's why they're above Nintendo this time.
Yeah. Before we get to the big one, which is Xbox, there's a few smaller things that was, like, on Games Fest and E3. Take-Two, they're the ones who own Rockstar and 2K Games, just, like, the NBA stuff and Mafia and all this. Yeah. Are you expecting much out of Take-Two out of these events or no? Because the 2K games...
A new WWE, obviously, and, like, a new NBA is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's obviously happening. Like, I don't think anything from GTA, except maybe, like, another eye-roll thing where they just say, oh, we've got a new version of this. You can now download, like, a new thing where you can get new cars or some shit for GTA 5.
Yeah.
But
my...
I feel like we're never going to get GTA 6 at this point.
Like, my pie in the sky thing for Take-Two is they, because the other day they gave an update on the GTA 5 next gen version, right? And they they said in the online stuff in October or November, wherever it is, so they're adding a like some items to do with GTA 3 for its 20th anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
I would like to see, and I don't know if this is happening, I would like to see...
Vice City.
I would like to see, if they don't announce a GTA 3 remaster, GTA 3D trilogy remaster. So 3, San Andreas, and Vice City.
Just running in the engine from 5.
Yeah. Reason being, it doesn't have to compete with GTA Online. It's a smaller thing, easy win, easy money for Take-Two and Rockstar. And then on top of that, like, it'll service people clamoring for 6. But also, they did... Rockstar absorbed a remaster studio, like, a couple years ago, called Ruffian, I think. So what are they doing there? Like, you know, are they remastering Red Dead Redemption? Are they doing something with GTA stuff? Like, personally...
I think that's the... If I could pick any to be remastered, it'd be the first Red Dead.
Yeah.
If the first Red Dead could play like Red Dead 2 and maybe be packaged with it,
yeah,
that would be incredible. But I do like the idea of that 3 Vice City and San Andreas remaster, though. That sounds cool. Specifically Vice City.
Yeah, like, I would happily pay like full price for those three games bundled into a 3D trilogy thing. Like, happily.
Yeah.
Also, Mafia...
And it also gets over that problem that we've spoken about where the two lead writers for Grand Theft Auto are gone now, and Red Dead, they're both gone. The voices behind all those games and characters that you love aren't there anymore. So the easiest way that they could, like, keep sales going and keep people happy is you don't have to write new stuff if you just get in, like, Ray Liotta's dialogue from Vice City and just put in new character models there for him.
Yeah, like, I'm like, that was really a thing I said. Like I said, it's pie in the sky. I'd love to see it. If it does happen...
It's not a prediction, it's a hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
This one?
At the Summer Games Fest as well, it's mentioned Activision are there.
I've just seen because Bespin wrote all these down for me because I don't know all these studios off by heart that are going to be there. And we've got Koch Media. Are they any relation to Bell End Studios?
Unfortunately not, no.
who turned out we made a live stream about old Bell End Studios making a game where you throw balls at each other and stuff. Knockout City. And we took the piss out of that game because it looked awful. And apparently it's really good, so sorry, Bell End Studios.
Everybody's loving it. Like, fair play.
What were the studio's actual name? It was Valen Studios.
Something like that. And
I swear the guy started the stream. He's like, "Welcome to Bell End Studios." Like,
that's
wow. Anyway,
that's how it felt. But yeah, Koch Media. I think it's Koch. I'm not too sure.
Right, Leeds Football Club. I've got a centre back from Germany whose name is Robin Koch, and it's spelt like that.
It could be Koch Media then.
If it is, unfortunate for them.
It's very unfortunate, yeah. But like, again, they do more like the AA type of stuff, so I don't expect a lot from them. And yeah, Activision are there, but I think that's going to be the Diablo remaster thing.
I need to be careful here as I Google Koch Media.
Nice. and yeah, I think Activision are going to do Activision things. So it's either like Diablo stuff or it's Call of Duty. It's one of the two.
Yeah. Koch Media do the Metro games.
No idea. Then.
Wasteland, Saints Row. I don't know if they do these or not. Observer is obviously old Bloober team. Gods Will Fall coming out in 2021. Yeah, I just having a look at old Koch Media. But yeah. So Summer Games Fest is going to go on. Is it parallel to like E3 or is it just before it, after it? What's going on?
So it's starting on the 10th. It's got a big tour event. And then it's going parallel with E3. Like I said, like the Xbox thing, it's going under both banners. So I think all of them are. Okay. Like, that's why there's so many of the same companies in the Games Fest thing as is in the E3 list.
Yeah, just looking through it, it's a lot of ones we already covered, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wizards of the Coast. What?
No idea.
What do they make?
No idea. These are some of the things I didn't bother looking at.
Wizards of the Coast. Oh, I'll give you a guess for what games they make.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't guess from Wizards of the...
Think of what... If you were a wizard on the coast, Bespin, what kind of game would you play?
If I was a wizard on the coast?
Yeah, what would you be playing if you were an old wizard on the coast?
I generally don't know, man.
Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons. that's it. It's just loads of different
honestly,
versions of
those. I was honestly
two
expecting
games.
Like a GTA Wizards game. Like you're running around as a Crip, like with a wand blasting bloods, you know?
I can't believe some of these names, man. Like, obviously, it's all the frequent names that I've seen a billion times, but they're just Wizards of the Coast and Cock Media have just shown up. But, yeah.
Right. PlayStation also on the Summer Games Fest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. obviously, it's one day before Ratchet comes out.
It means Jeff Keighley has got something on somebody at Sony and made them go there.
No idea what's happening there. Like, it's one day before Ratchet, so I doubt they'll show something for Ratchet, unless it is just, like, the launch trailer for the game.
So where is Sony going to show all their big shit, then, if not here?
It's big dick Sony. They're going on their own, aren't they? Like, they're going to do it...
Yeah, but you'd have thought that they'd have, like, at least timed it with all this stuff. Like, so everybody who's going to be looking at trailers for games and seeing what they're buying for the rest of the year and whether to purchase a PS5, for example,
everybody's
going to
purchase a PS5 anyway. Like, don't worry about it. Like, and that's not me being, like, a Sony fanboy. It's just the how in demand that is. They don't...
We all know that you're on the books for Sony, Bespin. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, they don't need it. Like, they didn't do it last year. They didn't do it the E3 before. Like, they just avoid it now. They don't need to do it.
Like, it kind of makes me sad. It's like... You're watching the World Cup and your team's not there. Because, again, we've said this a load of times. I'm as big a Nintendo fan as I am a Sony fan. Absolutely. Xbox I like as well. Not as much as those two, but make some good games and you can be there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like that. It's like I'm anticipating, watching, waiting, especially with you. Like, that's kind of, together, that's the games we talk about the most, is the Sony stuff. And they're just not going to be there while we... It's going to be like watching everybody else get excited about everything and then... Like, and I know it's not really, because at the end of the day, there's loads of third-party stuff going to be announced that we will be playing on our PS5s, but it's still...
Yeah, and it's, again, I don't know what PlayStation is going to do. Like, it could be simply a launch trailer for Ratchet, which is the day after. They just did Horizon, yeah. So it's not that. Like, maybe Kena, maybe they show something on Kena, since that's in August.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, I think Sony going to have their own big thing. I don't even think it's going to be this month. I think they're going to do it in, like, July. I think they want to be away from all of this. Standalone, but yeah, I don't think we're gonna get much from Sony at Summer Games Fest, which just leaves us now with the big lad,
the old big Xbox, Halo Infinite. Surely,
I think that's the big showcase. Like, it's all over their poster for E3.
Yeah,
I think they spend a good 45 minutes on that thing. They show you how they've reinvented the game. They're going to show you tons of multiplayer, since that's the one thing we haven't seen from that game ever, was multiplayer.
It's interesting that, because they obviously having to do this like big graphical overhaul, because everybody got the arse on that the last game didn't look too great. But the two biggest, well, one of the biggest things that they've pushed is like something like Sea of Thieves, which doesn't really look great to look at anyway. It doesn't need to. It's like a big cel-shaded thing. They haven't had something that looks great in years that's a first-party exclusive.
Yeah, I think it's because of the
what
next...
What have they had? It's like the Forza games always look good, but it's like... It's cars on the road, man. Like, it's going to look good.
I think that's...
Like, they haven't had this big visual thing, so it's weird that everybody expected that of them.
It's because the Halo was supposed to be hand-in-hand with the Series X, wasn't it? It's supposed to be like they're coming up together.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to feel next.
We said... I said to you, I would have bought a Series X for Halo.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it didn't come out. So.
I need more exclusives from Xbox to warrant it. Like, I got an Xbox One here. Like, I don't need to go and get my...
And you can play Halo when it comes out.
Yeah, and like, plus, like, my brother, he has a Series X, so I could literally go on that. Like, to get my own Series X, I need them to start coming up with like great games. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Like, I know,
because you're quite selective with your purchases, just even for PlayStation, so never mind for Xbox. Like, and buying an Xbox as well with that is, that's got to be, like you said, there's got to be some beefy exclusives on there for you to warrant doing.
Yeah, like, you know, the reason I'm a big fan of PlayStation, especially during the PS4 era, is because they developed games that I loved. Like,
yeah, that's it. Like, we've said this before, we weren't really big PS3 fans. That's because they weren't making good games left, right, and center, first party exclusive stuff the whole time that was out. But like the PS4, that's what that's what sort of moved us over from having, instead of having Xbox Ones, we had PS4s, because all the great exclusives were there. Yeah. And this generation, we've already had a load for PS5 already. If Xbox had them, I have absolutely no bias towards them. If Xbox had Demon's Souls, Miles Morales, and Returnal on launch, and PS5 didn't have anything but just offered you like a similar thing to Game Pass, yeah, I would have bought an Xbox. Like, I just go where the games are. I say this to everybody who asks me about Xbox as well, and we've spoken about this before. People get really on the defensive straight away if you just don't even own an Xbox.
Yeah, like people think we're against this, you and I in particular. They think we're against it. Like, we take the mix.
I said to you, I was in game the other day, right? I was buying a Switch game, so I wasn't even buying a PlayStation game. I was buying a Switch game, and the guy asked me like what I'd been playing and stuff like that, and I said like, oh, I just said I just finished Returnal and I just finished RE8. And as soon as I said it wasn't RE8, as soon as I said Returnal, he was like, oh, PlayStation guy. I was like, oh yeah, man. Like, as soon as something good comes out for the Xbox, I'll buy it. And straight away, this guy, just as well, couldn't be more perfectly timed. A guy walked straight in behind me and went, "Hey, you got any PS5s in, mate?" The guy behind the car was like, "No, we haven't got any in." And he's like, "I got the new Xbox, but it's shit." So the guy behind the counter starts losing it, like at me and this guy, thinking obviously he said it was shit, not me.
Yeah.
And he's like, You PlayStation people, you this, you that. He's like, name one good game you've had. Like, I was like, Demon's Souls, Miles Morales, Returnal, Astro Bot, like all the, and he's like, No, they're all crap, they're all crap. I was like, come on, man. It's not like I would have, I asked him, I was like, what are you playing on your Xbox? And he literally started laughing because he's just playing all like the old stuff.
Mm.
Nothing that he's playing on his Xbox Series X is taking advantage of the fact that he's on an Xbox Series X. Like, that's why I don't have one yet.
Like, we literally get Ratchet like in 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, another great exclusive game.
Then we got Horizon later in the year. We've got like,
yeah,
this Final Fantasy Origins thing. Like,
here's the big thing with Xbox though. This is the big canary in the coal mine they've got in terms of my interest. And you know what I'm going to say? If they've got Codge, our man, horny Codge, Hideo Kojima himself, if they've managed to get him in like sort of he's been booted out by sort of Marvel and DC have picked him up James Gunn style. That's kind of what's happened here. From the sort of breadcrumbs that we can pick up, he wanted to do something else at Sony. Death Stranding didn't sell well enough. They're probably not willing to fund something else he's going
to
do.
He was supposed to do something at Stadia, which fell through.
It was supposed to do something at Stadia as well, and that fell through. I kind of feel like with Kojima, every single piece of work that he ever does is quite sort of biographical of what's going on in his life. Like Death Stranding, obviously, yeah, was a big thing about connections and all this, a thing that he lost when he was working at Konami, all this stuff. I don't think he's quite gone through this like traumatic ordeal that he did at Konami. Mm-hmm. With Sony at all. But I think this thing that comes out, not a personal reflection on his journey, but it will be, I think, some sort of amalgamation of the thing that he was doing at Stadia and the thing that he wanted to do at Sony. You've seen these pictures that he uploads. Everybody's seen the picture. His mind is just constantly being put onto pages. He's got like artists sat all around him, asking him questions, writing down things like all the time. So whatever ideas that he had, they're not going to go to waste. So I think there's a genuine chance his next massive thing could be on Xbox. And if that's the case, you Xbox guys could fucking clap, because I'm an Xbox guy then. Like, I will buy one as soon as I find out that Kojima's doing something for them.
Yeah, going from Codge, like, obviously I love Codge, but I don't think he's going to be at this E3. I don't think they announced the Codge thing. I don't think they show it.
No,
I think that's,
no. This is me saying, yeah, if that happens.
Yeah, I think that's game. I think there. That's Game Awards. That we get it.
Okay. Best buds with big boy Jeff and his trainers as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
everybody remembers the old bit where Jeff was nearly crying because he couldn't give him the award.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think that's Game Awards. They did. Xbox is the question mark. Like, I used to have this grand expect.
So we said Halo Infinite is the thing that we've both said, right, it's definitely happening. What else do you think is happening there then?
They
need another big swing, don't they?
Forza Halo Horizon Infinite is not 5. Enough for me.
Yeah, that'll definitely be there. That's also not enough for me. I think these need, they don't need to,
the thing
they
is,
don't need to hit one home run. They need to hit like three.
I don't think we're going to see much of what they've already showed. Like, they've announced all these games like Perfect Dark, which I am personally excited for. Like, I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think we're going to see Fable. I don't think we're going to see those sort of games, like, because they're so far out.
So you think these are new reveals?
I think you,
of just things they're working on.
Yeah, I think these are new stuff, and maybe you get like Avowed or something, but I don't think you get like much.
What was that one again? I can't remember.
It's the new one from Obsidian.
Oh, right. Yeah. I remember something about
so
it.
So I don't think we get tons, but you got to remember, like, their conference is now mixed in with Bethesda, and I think Bethesda are going to show, obviously...
Oh, fucking hell. How could I forget that they've bought Bethesda?
Yeah, like, obviously, so the big thing then on the Bethesda side is going to be showing off Starfield. Like, I don't know what else Bethesda are doing, like...
How many announcements do you think we're going to get of games that are coming to Game Pass?
Oh, loads, yeah, but...
I think that would be, like, announcement, and then also... These games are coming to Game Pass. Something else. These games are coming to Game
Pass.
Again,
like, my weird pie-in-the-sky thing for Xbox would be they announced the Ubisoft, like, partnership. Like, you know Ubisoft have their, like, is it called Uplay or something that's on PC?
Yeah. I've got it on my desktop here.
Yeah, that they say that's crossed over with Game Pass.
Ubisoft Connect.
Yeah. That's crossed over now with Game Pass. Because I go back to, like, Phil Spencer and his infamous shelves, right? Like, there was a Watch Dogs Legion logo thing there. It's been there for months.
Yeah. Which is a very specific thing to, like, when he's got, like, Baby Yoda there, you're like, well, everybody looks Baby Yoda, but, like, a Watch Dogs Legion patch thing, like, that's specific.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's the crossover thing there. Like, that's going to be, like, right, Ubisoft Connect or whatever, that's going to be part of Game Pass. Like, you won't get all the new Ubisoft games or anything. That'll, like, obviously, it's what comes in a year or two time, isn't it? Like, however long they've been. Like, it's going to be that, but... I think that happens, which is a big win, just to say you've got that anyway. Like, that's a big win for Game Pass. More incentive to subscribe. Game Pass, best in gaming.
And, like, Ubisoft as well, that Ubisoft Connect thing, I don't know it specifically because whenever the only time I have to click through it is when I want to go on Far Cry Blood Dragon, because it's not on PS4 or 5 yet, so... The only time I have to do it is when I go on that, and I just click through it because I can't be asked. But there is some kind of reward system for playing games, like where you can unlock stuff. Like, there was stuff that it was telling me on my PS5 when I was playing Division 2 that I could unlock because I played Far Cry Blood Dragon on my PC. So it is all one big interconnected system. And they've shown that they can do that, and they will do that with, like, they just threw EA Play on Game Pass. Mm. So they're not just throwing games on there, they're throwing whole ecosystems on there as, like, the same way, so Amazon Prime obviously gets Shudder, and you click on Shudder through Amazon Prime, it takes you to a whole new, like, interface. Like, that's what they're doing, aren't they? They're giving you experiences and games.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, like, that's something that's going to get from Xbox. I don't know what you're going to get. Like, I think the focus here is going to be Halo and Starfield.
No Gears?
No. I don't think... I think the Coalition recently, I think it was 2 weeks ago, they said, like, they're so busy trying to get into Unreal Engine 5. And get a grip with that system, that you're not going to see a Gears 6 for a while.
What else do Xbox have? We've said that there's no Fable. We've said that there's no... I don't know. Even, like, they own Forza, Halo.
Like, Hellblade was a big one for them. I don't even think you see Hellblade. Like, I honestly...
Yeah, but Hellblade's on everything, isn't it?
I don't know. Hellblade 2. They have a thing...
Oh, is that an exclusive?
I don't know. They have a thing with it. Like, I just don't think you see it. Like... Honestly, right, I think everything you expect to see, you're just not going to see. Like,
well, Hellblade 2 is Ninja Theory, so if they're busy doing this Final Fantasy Dark Souls thing, you're not getting Hellblade anytime soon if that's imminent, are you?
No.
Surely not. They're not a massive studio.
No, honestly, the Xbox thing, I've really lowered my expectations there. I think you're going to see some cool third-party stuff show up on stage. Like we said, like, you could see Elden Ring.
Yeah, like,
you
could see... the biggest thing that Xbox showed before was Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
is shown up everywhere.
Yeah. There's also been rumors that Tom Cruise is in Starfield, so... Like, that's a...
He's a nut job, so... God knows, he's probably going to do, like, the thing... Do you know what would be the best reveal for Tom Cruise? Put a little couch on the stage, just get him to just start jumping up and down on it, saying he's in Starfield. That would be the ultimate... The ultimate reveal.
Just have him jumping on down the set on the sofa, say, "Subscribe to Game Pass. Subscribe to Game Pass."
Yeah, subscribe to Game Pass, and then have like thingies out across from him, just like looking very confused.
Yeah,
Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, do you expect much from this thing from Xbox?
I don't know what they've got. I think they're just going to be like just using it for third-party stuff. I think because, like we said, Halo is the big thing they're going to show. They're definitely going to show Forza because they show Forza every time they go anywhere, don't they? But if you're saying, and I trust you more than I trust myself with this stuff because you know your stuff. If you're saying there's no Fable there, that was one of my guesses. There's no Gears there. I already asked you about it. I don't know. What else do they have? What else do Microsoft have? Like Perfect Dark, obviously, but that's not.
Yeah,
you don't think we're going to see that?
I think that's the thing. They have like...
Why do you think we're not going to see Perfect Dark off the back
too
of
far away?
Obviously, they showed... Right, right.
I think most of the games they've showed already is 2023 at the earliest.
Do you think them showing those games too early then was them just saying, look, we do have games
yeah.
for our new
console? I think that was them saying, look, we are
it was a panic
doing,
move.
Like, look, you've got stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
And then this time they do have...
It was like how Nintendo showed the Metroid Prime 4 logo instead of just, like, just calming down.
Yeah, like this time you've got, like... You've got Halo this year. You've got Starfield next year. You've got Forza this year. You've got like Forza Motorsport next year. Like, and you'll have Game Pass deals. You're like, they're slowly doing it. Xbox Game Pass, best in the game. Like, but once you get to that's the thing. Once they've got all their like ducks in a row, they're gonna be going fast. They're gonna be like hitting on every level. Once they're going from Starfield.
I think the problem for Xbox, though, is like we keep talking about the fact that, oh, yeah, they're going to be set up to do this, they're going to be set up to do that. And we've been talking about it since the last gen. Oh, they're just sorting all this stuff out, While they're still sorting this stuff out, we've already got like three or four great PlayStation exclusives. In the meantime, while they're sorting this stuff out, we'll get five more.
We're going to get even more. All of a sudden Sony...
You're building this library where they're already 10 games behind.
Yeah, Sony have got 25 games in development right now.
Exactly.
13.
Hopefully some of those that obviously we can't make predictions on these. They are 12 of them are new IPs. I hope something new shows up at. I know you said about PlayStation, we don't know what they're going to do. I hope they're treating this where, right, let's not do God of War and let's not do Horizon because they've just done Horizon, obviously, their last state of play thing. Let's show something new off at E3.
I think they will. I think they'll start showing new stuff.
One of the new... You've got 12. One of them should be far enough along to make some sort of trailer or gameplay reveal.
Do you remember last year they showed off Pragmata? Which is like the one... Like it was on stage. Me and you were like, is this Kojima? Like this looks like a Kojima thing.
Yeah. I remember
like,
that
one, that's a new IP. That could be.
Is that one of the new ones then, of the 12?
That's one of the 12. Right. Like they will start showing it. But the thing is Xbox. Like I don't know what Bethesda are doing. Right now, like outside of Starfield, like have they got a Wolfenstein 3 coming? Like Arkane Studios, their next game is on PlayStation. It's Deathloop.
I just obviously gave Pragmata a quick Google just because I do remember this one now. It's absolutely a COD game. It's also a Capcom game though.
Oh, it's just an exclusive then to PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh no, it says it's PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and PC.
Oh, that's weird.
So that could be one of the ones that shows up with Capcom.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like looking at Xbox right now, like
it just says launch in 2022 as well.
Yeah. So yeah. With Xbox I generally don't know what they're gonna do. I've lowered my expectations.
I don't know.
I think it's gonna be the Halo showcase, mostly. Bethesda, like I don't know what Bethesda are doing. Like I said.
They've got a lot of legwork to do with Halo as well. And I know you said you liked the original reveal, didn't you? I was fine with it. I really liked it, but I know it was like one of those things. I watched it with you, and then I just kind of went to bed. It was one where it was on at like 10 o'clock, somewhere. We sat and watched it like on the headset, didn't we? And then I just went to bed, and then the next day, waking up, like everybody was pissed at it. I was like, "What? I thought this would be everything Halo fans would want. It's what I want." So
yeah, and like that's the thing. Like we don't know what Bethesda's doing. We know Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo. They're PlayStation exclusives. Like,
yeah, so that's Ghostwire is the one by the Evil Within Peaks, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like, that's happening there. Like, there's rumors that there's a.
Oh, we see more from that. I didn't like the reveal for Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah. There's a rumor that, like, Arkane's next game after Deathloop is a vampire game. So maybe they'll show that at the Bethesda conference.
Ooh, I love me some vampires.
So that's a possibility. But again, like, I don't expect much. You know.
Best way to go in, though. Everything that we see is going to be a surprise for us that way.
Yeah. But, like, that's kind of my thoughts on the Xbox thing. It's, like, tempering expectations. Yeah. I used to think that's going to be the big lad. That's going to be the big showcase there. Like, we're going to get the most surprises and reveals. And I was excited for it because, like I said, I want to see more Fable. I want to see more Perfect Dark, Avowed. All of these games have already announced. Plus the new ones. Like, you know, there's rumors that, like, IO Interactive, you know, the guys behind Hitman, that they're working on a new RPG for Xbox. Like, that in Exile, they still haven't showed their game. Like, there's so much going on behind the scenes at Xbox. Like I said, it's just them getting the ducks in a row at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hopefully they do. Because, like we said before, I just go where the games are, and there's nothing better than a healthy sort of competition between exclusives on the two biggest consoles.
Absolutely not, yeah. Like, I want to have both consoles and just indulge myself in fantastic games on both sides.
Exactly, yeah. Well, actually, saying the two biggest, I think Nintendo deserve a shout-out, don't they, with the Switch.
Switch is dominant.
The second biggest.
Switch is dominant.
But yeah, I think that's about it, isn't it, mate, for the E3 show?
I believe so.
I think we're going to do something where we reflect on these thoughts and we can sort of look back at what we thought would happen, what we wanted
what
to happen.
What we're most excited for coming out of the event.
Like, yeah. And,
we'll do something with PlayStation do with their thing as well.
Yes, definitely. The only thing that will hold us back from any of this is just timing around work stuff. But if we can and we're able, we'll give you all reactions to everything from the show and obviously a post show on this show as well. But I think that's everything, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, I think that's it for us today.
So whereabouts can they find you online?
So you can find me everywhere at Bestman Bulletin. I have a podcast called Bob the Podcast, B.O.B. Just search Bestman Bulletin. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
I'm everywhere at Antshot First, and you can find us at MPM at MP Madness Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, that's everything. So I'll catch you guys next time. See ya.